My brothers and sisters in Christ, a TV commercial for eyeglasses has a clever way of engaging viewers and gaining customers. It first shows a scene that is quite blurry, and then shows the same scene in sharp detail. The message, of course, is that you will see better if you buy the company's eyeglasses. Analogously, Jesus, in today's gospel, the Beatitudes, which begin the Sermon on the Mount, clarifies the right way of living, the way God marks out for us, and helps us to see clearly, and contrasts it implicitly with the usual way people think and act, the worldly way. It's Jesus clear and sharp versus the worldly blurry and distorted. What we may fairly ask is wrong with a worldly way of thinking and behaving for people who live in the world. Well, those who are skeptical about what Jesus teaches see themselves as a consummate realists. This is how the world really is. You have to go along with it. And what they advise us to go along with is expressed in some sayings such as, might makes right. Take care of number one, yourself. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That kind of thinking and acting produces the war in Ukraine and the civil war in Ethiopia, and some couples' willingness to divorce rather than modify selfish interests, and the hedonism adopted by some as their lifestyle. That's where the worldly way of thinking leads. The worldly way that is in contrast with the Beatitudes is actually one without hope. Nothing can really change. Things will never be better. It is a remnant of ancient thinking. They didn't think in a straight line way, the way generally we do today. They thought in a cyclical way. The world revolves the same way. Things that are going to happen, what was, will be, and what we experience now will come back again. And that's the whole story. The Christian way is hopeful. Change for the better is possible. Real progress can take place if we listen to God and live by the ideals that Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes. So Jesus gives us eyeglasses that clarify our vision. And when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he is not encouraging the grinding poverty in which people do not have enough to eat or a decent place to live. He is saying that rich or poor, we should rely on God for our needs, certainly for the life to come, but here on earth too. If we have that attitude, God will provide for us and we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus also, kind of the subtext here is, he encourages us to share what we have with those in need. And don't leave people in grinding poverty, right? For he said it another time, the poor you will have always with you. Many people just use that as a reason not to. Well, you know, they're all going to be around. It's their fault anyway. No. Jesus said, the poor you will have always with you, and you can do good to them whenever you wish. That's the part, the last part people tend to forget. Okay, meeting Jesus, a rich man named Zacchaeus decided to trust in God and not in his wealth. He then gave half of his money to the poor. Zacchaeus did not become poor, but he was, in Jesus' sense, poor in spirit. If we do not grasp for more and more and are willing to help those in greater need, we make our part of the world a better place than do those who adopt worldly values. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The worldly way says, if they won't give it to you, give you what you want willingly, fight them for it. When Jesus encourages peacemaking, he is urging us to seek justice in our relationships, and on that basis, to build peace. We have to recognize others as equal in human dignity to ourselves, with the same rights and needs. The Greek historian Thucydides, who was a general in the war between Sparta and Athens, and a very perceptive man, wrote that wars were waged because one nation wanted what another nation had, or feared that another nation would take away what it did have, because that's why people went to war. If we treat other nations fairly, we reduce the prospect of war. The same in our families and in our communities. If you want peace, work for justice, said Pope St. Paul VI. Having and working for that ideal is surely preferable to the worldly view that justifies aggression to achieve your goals. Jesus also says, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Working for peace does not mean we stand by and do nothing when people are being treated unjustly or the truth is being suppressed. So we stand, we defend up the lives of unborn children and the frail elderly. We advocate for fair treatment for immigrants. We ask for sanity as well as compassion for a person with gender dysphoria, the whole transgender phenomenon. For such stands taken individually or as a church, we will be persecuted by those who oppose us. Yet defending the dignity of all human beings and insisting on the respect they deserve is truly God's work. Do we not make our world better by standing up for the truth than by allowing injustice, falsehood, and corruption to go unchallenged? If we do, the Lord says that God will reward us with a blessed life in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the goal, to get there, right? The Lord Jesus shows us the way, for if you consider the Beatitudes, they are how Jesus himself lived. Every one of them, it's how he lived. He often ate in the homes of wealthy people, like Zacchaeus, but he was not attached to wealth. In fact, at the Last Supper, the disciples, when Judas left, they thought he was going out to give money, some money to the poor, meaning that the money that Jesus had received from others, he shared it with people in need. He taught his apostles, who were a fractious bunch to begin with, he taught his apostles not to rival one another for honor, but to serve God in harmony, which they finally learned. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, very different from the Gospels. They aren't fighting with one another all the time. They actually cooperate to spread the gospel. Jesus was merciful to sinners, while also challenging the legalistic rulers of some religious leaders that hurt ordinary people. Jesus lived the Beatitudes. He also gives us the grace we need to live them. As St. Paul says in our second reading, we are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? In Christ Jesus. We're in him because the Father has called us to be joined to his Son. Our baptism joins us, the Jesus who died and rose from the dead on our behalf. So in our baptism, that begins with baptism. That means that we have the strength and the wisdom from God, increased by the Eucharist, by our prayer, by trying to live our faith each day. We have that strength to take the bold step of living differently from those who follow worldly values. We are to be in the world, no other one for us to be in, but not to be of the world. We can do so joyfully, not only because of the reward we are promised, but because the Lord will stand with us as we follow his example. Through the prophet Zephaniah, in our first reading, God says, I will leave a remnant in your midst, a people humble and lowly who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. We are that remnant. We are that remnant. Call upon the name of the Lord. And as Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, keep doing what is right no matter what they say about you. It is better to hope for that great reward in the kingdom of heaven than to please the worldly powers on earth.